Hello, everybody. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. Julia Rozzi is with us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Happy Pearl Harbor Day.
Oh.
Some people find that odd. I will not be told how to honor. And I say happy Pearl. And I know some Japanese are listening right now, and they're like, well, yeah, I didn't want it to be happy. Ha ha, I say happy.
I see, you're getting them back.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally. I mean, emotional scars, I think, sometimes are bigger than physical scars.
Not bigger than two atom bombs, but pretty big. 70 years ago, of course, 1941, on this date, Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, we were bombed from the Japanese. You know how many people died?
Over 2,000, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of people. You know, Lauren, who grew up in Hawaii, has one of her best friends was born today. Obviously years ago.
Right.
And what's funny is her best friend is born on Pearl Harbor Day and Lauren is born on 9/11. Jeez. So it's just big tragedies on their birthday. So stay away from Lauren and her friends is the point.
The tragic twins. The attack was intended as a preventive action in order to keep the U.S. Pacific Fleet from interfering with military actions. The Empire of Japan was planning in Southeast Asia against overseas territories of the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, and the United States. The attack, of course, was a complete shock. The following day, the United States declared war on Japan. This is really what got us into World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of Americans were saying, you know, no, that's this other country's business. And they go, never mind. Now,
yeah,
it's our
some,
business.
It changed some people's minds.
Yes.
And lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Subsequent operations by the U.S. prompted Germany and Italy to declare war on the U.S. on December 11th, which was reciprocated by the U.S. the same day. They go, yeah, okay, we're in.
Reciprocated is such a nice word.
Well, it's so weird that there's a
for war.
Right.
I'm terrible at history.
We had these terrorists, and it's these people that don't understand there are rules to war.
I've never understood rules to war,
though. It is strange, but yeah.
It makes sense. I think it's the same thing as like rules for fighting in a relationship. You can't avoid fights,
right.
Arguments, whatever, but you can't call names because people won't forget that. You know, you can't hit your boyfriend,
right.
Or girlfriend or whatever. You know,
if something was already solved, you can't bring it up. That's not fair.
Well, that's your own rule, Keith.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about that.
But
one.
If you break a rule in war,
if you forgive me for not giving you a gift on your birthday, Julia,
you didn't give me a gift on Pearl Harbor Day.
Then don't. You're jumping ahead. Let me see what I got. Yeah, what a over 2,402 people killed, 1,247 wounded, you know.
And that's compared to something like 65 of their people either wounded or killed.
Exactly, 64 yeah. People killed of theirs. I mean, it was a beating. During the final stages of World War II in 1945, some 4 years later, the United States conducted two atomic bombings, you know this, against the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan, first on August 6, 1945. Then August 9th, 1945, do you know that? And then finally they surrendered. We had other atomic bombs planned, up to five more even. And they're like, okay, Jesus. In fact, 6 months, and the bombing wasn't, it's not like these atomic bombs were such a surprise either. They were warned about them. There were many firebombs going off in Japan, 67 in fact.
But what do you do
and
about
warnings? And
they said,
warnings? No, we're not going to. You surrender.
Right.
You say, okay, we're done here. You already beat the Nazis of Germany. But Japan wants to keep going. They think they still got something. Well, we don't think you do. Now, most of these people dead were civilians, so some people don't know, is this such a great thing that we did after all? I don't know what you can do at a certain point.
I don't know. See, it's so hard because I know, you know, here's our turn to speak, right, Julia? And it's
let's not focus on the past. Just move forward.
That's what I say about Thanksgiving. Which, by the way, I'm sorry, one second. But I see a lot on Facebook and here and there, and people are like, you know, people celebrate Thanksgiving, and I think they have history skewed, and, you know, we took over this land with brutal force. I don't know who you people hang out with. I did not have one discussion about pilgrims and Indians
when
on Thanksgiving. Not one about, isn't it so good the way we made friends with you have your facts skewed, Keith. I didn't hear it brought up at all.
I see what you're saying. Thanksgiving has changed.
I think
maybe.
It's changed by now.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Also, I think most places that anyone occupies, now here's where we're going to get letters and people calling me ridiculous, but it's all over war, right? You occupy something and you're probably kicking someone else out, aren't you?
Oh, the world is terrible.
That sums it up. Julia just comes with the most summing up brilliant math of everything.
It's smarter than a lot of things I hear at these in these debates.
In these Thanksgiving dinner debates?
No, I mean presidential debates.
I see.
Like, most people are stupid. The world is horrible. Just have fun. Be nice. That's pretty much it. Just relax.
No, it was a different time, Mr. Kane. But 70 years ago, how would you have handled the atom bombs in Pearl Harbor? Okay.
Oh, say can.
Right.
Do you know that
you're saying Pearl Harbor. Okay, I just want to make sure we're both talking about the same incident. Pearl Harbor. With the, it wasn't good, right? You're saying it wasn't good. Right, I agree. It wasn't good. I would have had all the facts. What were you going to say?
Mitt Romney lives in my hometown.
Congrats.
Yeah. Fun fact.
I say it would more be like, you know, history should not repeat itself, you know, good or bad. We're just trying to move forward. I think that we can, you know, in general, be close to other countries, and we're working more towards being an alliance rather than having more enemies. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
That's
Let me
good.
Kiss your babies. Thank you. Yeah, well,
you got my vote.
Oh, thank you. Running for president.
Pro-choice or pro-life, whatever. Who am I to say? Okay, thank you.
I'm just pro, you know, you got to stay positive.
Yeah.
You know, in like Julia was saying, you know, you got to stay positive in a world that is getting destroyed and is horrible. And let's just focus on the pro, everybody.
Pro.
I am pro.
These candidates are all but saying I'm pro. Do you know the names of the atom bombs in Hiroshima?
I swear to God.
Oh, we're going back to it.
Larry or something.
little boy. And the one in Nagasaki was called Fat Man.
Ah, Sandusky likes that first one. Heyo. What? Sorry. I'm sorry, you guys. I know that was horrible.
Well, he was just, arrested today. They just took Sandusky away in handcuffs. And another boy came out, talking about the Penn State incident, of course. A 19-year-old boy came out saying, you know, I don't know, I felt alone. I didn't want to say anything. But other people are saying, okay, I'm in. Let me tell you, he's been, he met me through his boys' charity. And got me drinking, gave me whiskey, and then started following me.
You know what they should do? They should have one boy who he actually didn't do anything with come out. And then Sandusky will be like, no, not him.
Right.
Like, this guy's totally full of shit, but that'll be the only guy. You know, that's kind of like a way that you can bring out some sort of lie when, I don't know, you're getting cheated on or something. And I know you slept with her. Well, not her. But you didn't say not her for all these other women.
If you're getting into the double digits, though, you'd assume you probably did.
Did you see the SNL sketch?
No.
That, like, some people thought was horrible, some people thought was hilarious. It was basically, I forget the school it was, but they were having, like, a press conference with this coach that was not accused, but they're right. Like, but he looks like he could be. So they were having a press conference to discuss that he looks like a child molester, basically, or that they thought he. I'm messing it up.
No, it just goes on and on about how we looked into his past, and we want you to know he never touched boys.
Yeah.
Obviously, all you're hearing is touching boys. And we talked to his
mom.
Yeah. And we talked to his mom, and his mom says he doesn't touch boys. And like, you brought my mom into this.
Yeah, but they're like, look at him.
Well, in terms of looking at him, if you're a man and you grow just a mustache, stop it. Stop it. At least have some kind of little patch underneath or a goatee or something. Just the mustache.
But Sandusky barefaced.
I'm saying for the people with mustaches, you will be accused at some point. Mm. Or you're allowing us to see you.
I saw this Jerry Sandusky. He looks like a mustache face. Is that okay to say?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have a mustache. He has a mustache face.
He's got a busy face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's like a lot happening on the face.
If you have a mustache face, I don't know. I say like a blood test. Check your DNA. See what it's doing. See if you got a couple of those red ones. The danger ones. Now, I know, ironically, we're getting into Nazi territory. But it doesn't seem like the worst idea. That's all. It, thank God the people that had to endure World War II can't see how the world turned out. I'm at Radio Shack trying to buy simple headphones. I'm glad they don't know what's going on out there and what this world has become. Well, you know how I complain about customer service. And you know Radio Shack. You've got questions. We got stares. And I buy headphones. And I need it last minute. Well, I shop at Radio Shack, but Kenda's doing a What's My Name show. And she has three guests. And one of our headphones ended up busted. So we needed one right away. And I get it. And, I get stared at until I realize I'm supposed to swipe my credit card.
Oh, yeah, that's a big thing. I always go, how much is it? Like that, because I want, that's all they have to fucking do. It's part of their job.
Yeah, I can't read. But either way, I don't know. I'm getting used to that you have to swipe your own credit card, but sometimes I hand it to them just because I'm still kind of...
I can swipe my card, but tell me.
Yeah. Tell me it's time. Sometimes they don't even tell you it's time. They're just kind of stopping.
Yeah.
And I go, I'm sorry, did you want me to... Oh, swipe the card. And sometimes they don't even point at the machine. They just turn their head and raise their head over there. A horse or something. Right. What is wrong with you?
Now, there's no difference to me if I use our Keith and the Girl card as a credit card or a debit card. But I'm just used to credit. I think we talked about it and decided credit. I don't remember why.
It's safer.
Maybe because it was safer. So anyway.
I think also less fees is what initially we decided
on. Okay.
Yeah.
So I swipe it. And then a number pad comes up, so I can tell it's being taken as a debit card. They want my four digits. That's how it works here in the States. So I go, I'd like to do a credit, please. And, it looks like a debit. And I go, yeah, I'd like to do credit, please. Well, it's going to take it as it takes it. And you know what? At this point, I'm like, I could go to debit. It's not that important, because I don't even remember why I chose credit. But now, no.
Yeah, it's your right.
We're going credit, and this is getting done. I've made many transactions in my life. This can get done, and it will get done. And I go, I have to do credit. Or I want to do credit. I don't know what I said. And then you have to get out of this. This screen, you got to get out of it. So I just start pressing buttons, and then it goes to a screen that says credit or debit. And she acts like she knew it and points to this terminal and goes, well, there you go.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, all right, credit. Then I do it. Then it's printing out, the receipt. She's looking at her nails, asking the fellow Radio Shack worker, do these look shiny to you? And the lady points to, her third nail. This one doesn't look so shiny. Then it prints out. It's staring there for a while.
Yeah, they don't even ask you to sign it. Sometimes I think if it's under a certain amount in some places, you actually don't have to sign it. So I have stood there waiting for me to sign something or for the receipt or for whatever it is that it doesn't feel finished. Nobody told me to get out of here.
Right.
So I'm just standing there and then they just start staring back and I go, I'm sorry, is that it? And they go, yeah.
And even if that's it, though, I should get a receipt. I should get something.
I should get acknowledgement.
Yeah.
How about we used to say, thank you.
Right.
There is this place in the West Village. It's a health food, grocery store, whatever, that I go to get veggie juice. And not to brag. And the staff there, it's funny because you would think at like a health food, organic kind of place, they'd be like, hey, man,
we're all connected.
They are worse than the Radio Shack. I mean, literally, I'll be like, can I get a bag? And they're like, it is painful that they even have to move. It's bizarre.
It's so bizarre. That's what you're wondering. You start questioning yourself until you go,
am I
wait
an
a minute.
Asshole?
No, this happened to me yesterday. I went to the supermarket and I have been taking the self-checkout line because it seems like there's it's faster and
no,
I could just not deal with anyone.
Right.
But a big deal is just, you know what? Let me not deal. I'll just not have to talk to anyone. I'll know when to swipe my card, whatever. But I noticed because it was, pretty late at the supermarket, no one was there, so all the lines were open. So I just went through with a cashier. So because it's kind of empty, all the cashiers are doing this dialogue thing, and they're all chatting about something and laughing at things and whatever. And I happen to want cash back in this transaction. I go, do you guys do cash back? He finishes talking to his friend, comes back to me, and says, oh, yeah, and then mumbles something. And I go, did you say up to $25? And then he answers me again. And then I want to ask him one more question, but I'm like, wow, I'm really interrupting their conversation. I keep interrupting their conversation. I should really stop. And then I was like, wait a minute. He should be focused on me.
Right.
I'm not interrupting his conversation. He's interrupting my transaction. But for me to even have gone there would never have happened years ago. I would never feel like I'm interrupting anyone. And I'm not rude. Like, I'm not like, you should be taking my transaction right now.
They should.
But you should. That's the thing.
That's why when someone is now like nice to me, like when I go to Starbucks and they're like, have a great day. I'm like, wait, what'd you just say? Like, I freak out over good customer service now.
Totally. And even Starbucks, which prides itself. Why do you go to Starbucks? You can get any coffee. You know, I just
honestly the red cup. The holiday seasonal red cup. Wow. I'm a sucker. Once it goes back to white cup, I'll probably go to delis. But that red cup, I feel so warm and toasty.
Wow, that shit really works.
It really does. And I won't do, I think Dunkin' Donuts is brown water. It's like poop water.
Oh, see, I like Dunkin' Donuts. But I like the sort of atmosphere of Starbucks. Like, oh, mm-hmm. you're gonna be, you know, you're gonna move along very fast. They're gonna be nice to you. But even that, there's some ghetto shit happening
there
in there.
Is.
They're just talking to their friends about what happened last night, but not just regular talking to your friends, like, oh yeah, so yeah, of course, like take a break at the bank, right, or like whatever it is, or I didn't think that he would do that or whatever. It was like, and then unfucking believe. I'm like, yes. Did you just swear?
I overheard.
And it's racist. I mean, I hear the N-word all the
yes.
time.
Yes. Yeah. I was at like a grocery store in Park Slope, and there are these two, you know, stock boys or whatever talking. They didn't need to be in the same aisle because they don't ever put two stock boys in the same aisle. Right. It's like one box of cereal they're both putting on the shelf hand in hand. And they were talking about some girl one of them fucked.
Right.
And so I kind of like took a really long time to get my breath, but I couldn't even understand them because they were like, oh yeah, fucker, yeah. And like they had so much marble like shit in their mouth. I don't even know what was happening. I was like, oh,
that's a shame, because you're like, fuck it, I guess I'll listen to a story.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, come on, if you're going to talk that loudly, enunciate a little bit.
Remember when you worked customer service, and if they saw you talking about what was on TV the night before, you have time. If you have time to lean, you have time to clean. We were sent out to mop the parking lot. There's something to do, and it's pretty amazing. If I worked at Radio Shack, and a boss came in later and said, Keith, I need to talk to you for a second. I'd go, oh, yeah. When I said, I don't know, credit or debit. How do my nails look? Oh, I'm going to probably get fired. No, they go, oh, I don't see what for. I don't see why. You know what? I use these self-checkouts. And I'll tell you why, because some people don't know this. You get a lot of free deals. Yesterday at my supermarket, free sushi night.
Oh, I gotcha.
Tonight's going to be free steak night. Fuck them. Fuck them. And you know who that's for? The World War II generation.
You know what? I spoke about this the other day. The bloops thing wasn't working because I was self-checking out.
The what thing?
Bloops. It goes bloops.
Oh, that's bloops. The technical term?
Sure, yeah. And I think I bought like two little blocks of cheese. We were having some sort of taco, whatever, and one other thing. So one of the blocks of cheese, I don't think, clicked through. And then, you know, it sets off a thing. You got to wait for this person. This person was flirting with some girl. While he's talking to her, doesn't even look at me, leans over, bloops the thing, and I leave. I go, you know what? If he doesn't care about my $2 little block of cheese, why should I give a fuck? Now I'm going to stop his conversation, interrupt him while he's flirting
with
a customer.
He's going to get
more mad. He really would because he's like, well, what are you, you know, I blooped you. Now I got to bloop you again. In
he wanted to bloop her.
Speaking of planes, Alec Baldwin got kicked off an American Airlines flight.
I'm sorry, were we speaking of planes?
Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
Alec Baldwin.
I just like your segues.
Thank you. He was told to put his cell phone away, and he's saying, look, we're not even taxing. You just closed the doors.
Alec Baldwin decided.
Yeah, he said, well, you know what? You gotta put your foot down sometimes.
Sure.
Don't you? Don't you? Isn't that the whole point we're making? Airlines are rude. I'm on Alec Baldwin's side. Airlines are rude. You ever take an airline? How when the first, you read this story, American Airlines and Alec kicked off Alec Baldwin, I would assume it's the airline's fault.
See, I think you're wrong because they have a bunch of stuff to do before they can take off. If they want to get ahead on one of the things,
they have to passive aggressively get you headphones, passively aggressively tell you that the pillow costs extra now, passively aggressively tell you that you can't pee yet, adult.
What was the airline?
American Airlines. You just filed for bankruptcy. No problem.
Chapter 11. Also, side story that I want to get out. A friend of mine's friend died, right? She was supposed to be She was supposed to be flying from the West Coast to New York. She was like, can I change my ticket to go? It was like, I don't know, like Kentucky or Texas, something like that. Because my friend just died. And they're like, we have to get a certificate. And she's like, the flights cost the same. You're going, like.
Right.
And they were like, no. Like, they wouldn't. they didn't even say sorry. Like, they wouldn't even fucking bend.
They wouldn't even try.
They wouldn't even try. And then they go out of business, you know, 2 days later or whatever. But
they didn't, your point, they didn't even look it up or have any kind of.
They didn't even have any sort of like, I'm sorry, let's see what we can do. Right. Maybe you can this. They're like, $500.
Wow.
Ugh.
He happened to be playing Words with Friends on his phone. And I honestly, I get
what
that.
Was he really?
Yeah. But if somebody does some dumb word and gets this triple word and triple letter at the same time, and then you're on a flight forever, how many hours, and you can't get them back? Which, by the way, Words with Friends is making me dumber and dumber. QI is not a word, no matter what you tell me.
I love QI.
And I love it too, but it doesn't seem fair. And my spell check is retarded now. It can't fix anything for me.
Do you know that there's an app that you can get to cheat on Words with Friends?
Yeah. Cheat with Friends.
It's called Cheat with Friends, right? Is it called Cheat with Friends?
Cheat with Friends. I looked it up. You type in your letters, and it'll tell you what words they can make out of that.
Oh, I see. Like, you have to be a real... Like, because I do... I play Words with Friends because it keeps my... You know, it's like Sudoku. You know what I mean? It gets your mind working, and it's fun. If you're cheating on Words with Friends, like, get a fucking life,
what's
right?
The point?
Like, you're really like, I'm the man. I win all my Words with Friends games.
Well, you know what? I don't play online games much. Like, you know, shooting games and things like that. But even... these guys, they rig it up so they have the best weapons and all this, and it almost becomes unfair. It gets to the point where trivia games that I'll have, you don't know Jack, I enjoy the trivia game, and it didn't take long to realize these guys got the game on day one, played through every level, knows the answer to every question, these strangers, and they buzz in so fast on every question, the answer didn't even come up. Buzz C, correct. Buzz B, haha, I beat you. Now, how is that fun for you? But it's fun for these people.
Because they have nothing else going on in their lives.
Well, why do you think you don't? Because you're a prick.
You know what that reminds me of? Remember we played, years ago, we played paintball. Gotta do this again.
Right.
Played paintball, and at some point... We played against, you know, this other guy. We had enough people where we can just play against each other all day, which is really fun. But some guy joined us. He, you know, plays on a regular. He had this ultimate gun that he bought separately. It wasn't rental and all that shit. So he just stood there beating the shit out of us because his gun went faster, you know, further.
It's like a Gatling gun. I thought it was a real gun.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And it just was the least fun we had that day because... We had no chance. He just stood there and beat the shit out of us. And we're like, and again, how is that fun for you?
No fun.
You have a better gun. It's not like you're hiding better. It's not like you have better tactics. It's not like, you know, you drew out some sort of map that worked out the best for you. There's nothing fun about it.
No fun with friends.
Yeah, it's
new game. No fun with friends.
Which one do you want to play?
It's not like we're at real war and he's like, oh my God. Whew.
Right.
I killed everyone and I'm still going to go home to my wife and everything's going to be okay. It's a fucking game.
Other times we talked to Julia Raza. You can see, of course, you go to keithandthegirl.com/guests. And you just type up her name, look it up. She'll be on the top right now after this show. And you can see other shows she's been on. Last time we saw her was she was reading for our audiobook, What Do We Do Now? The relationship book. Excellent reading, if I may say.
Oh, well, thank you.
Top notch.
Yes.
Top notch. And we started talking about...
because you know, all the questions are pretty provocative. You know, there's a question, I want to sleep with my boyfriend's mother or something. Oh, no, I want to sleep with my girlfriend's mother. It's like, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, is it okay? That's how we should have answered. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
It would have been more a pamphlet than a book. But that is a way to go. And so it ended up just talking about relationships, the relationship Julia's in now, other relationships she was in. And we're learning that... How long have you been with your guy now? A couple years.
Three and a half years.
And you're in love, obviously.
Yes.
This is the real deal.
I think this is it. Yeah.
This is, I mean, it's very rare to see someone this happy.
Aww.
Absolutely. And 3.5 years, you know, when you're still glowing, every time she talks about him, she lights up and, you know, it's she's excited. I think that's so beautiful.
I've gotten real cheesy the past few, like
what's the point if you're not going to be cheesy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then you're just buddies, of course. Mm-hmm. Like, the glow is the fun part.
You guys still bloop on the regular?
Bloop.
Oh, bloop. Nice.
Yeah, we price check that shit.
I'll A, I'll P, everything.
I see notes being, are we making, I'll price check that shit, new terms, a new
that
tagline?
That I was writing down right now?
Were you writing down also? I was writing down also potential show titles later.
I was just writing down, this is it. And that'll remind me of saying this also. When you say you think this relationship is it, you were married before.
I was.
How long ago was that?
We separated summer of 08.
Summer of 08. And you were together with this guy about a decade.
Like about 9-ish years.
Wow. That's your whole young adult life.
Yeah. And we were only married for 13 months.
So isn't that something? 10 years. Then you get married. Yeah. About a year, you get a divorce. Yeah. What happens?
I like to waste money. I basically, it was sort of like that either break up or get married kind of feeling.
You felt that.
I guess. I don't know. We were very, very good friends in college. He was my best friend in college. And then we got together and it was delightful. And I think it started to fade, but we were such good friends that I didn't really, it was my first serious relationship. And we started dating when I was 20. So I didn't really have
the gauge.
I didn't have the gauge to know if we were, they say, oh, you want to marry your best friend, So I was like, well, we're best friends. So this makes sense. Great. He has a penis. I have a hole,
So you're like 30 and you think the clock's ticking. You might as well be this guy.
Well, no, it was more that, I hate to describe it this way because it sounds horrible. It was almost like a food allergy because we were together.
Sounds fun.
We were together in LA. I lived in LA. I wasn't happy. I started to become unhappy and I thought it was LA. So I moved to New York and then we moved to New York and I was like, oh, it's not New York. I need more stability. We need to move to Boston and get married because that's where I'm from. And then we did that and I was still not happy. And I was like, shit, it's him. But I never thought it could be him.
Wow, I see. So in the food allergy, it's like, oh, maybe it's peanuts. Let me take peanuts out of my diet. Maybe it's seafood.
And then you
seafood.
Find out it's bread and you're like, no, it can't be bread.
There's bread in everything.
Yeah, exactly. That's really what it was like. And I don't mean to describe it in such a
that makes the most sense. Yeah. It was a lot of times when you hear stuff like that, it's, I just really wanted to get married, so I was ignoring everything. But that makes sense.
Yeah.
You love him very much.
Mm-hmm. I still love him as a friend. We're still friendly.
So was it just on your part where you were like, I don't know?
I don't believe it. I believe it's usually mutual. I mean, it had to be because...
Was marriage going to save any problems you had?
No, I don't think it's that I thought marriage was... It was just we were together for so long. It was like the logical next step. And I didn't have the ball. We didn't have the balls to break up with each other. So it was like we didn't... Right. I don't know. It just... I was in a... I mean, I have to be honest with you. From the second I got engaged to when I split, I very hazy. I was drinking a lot. I was in denial. I was just like...
Did anyone see it? Did your family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did they say anything to you? I mean, what can you say? But maybe there's someone.
They did. I mean, for Margo, who I do strip stories with, who we've tried to get on the show, but it hasn't worked. But at my bachelorette party, I had a co-ed bachelorette party because I was like, this will be so fun. See, we're such a good couple. We're having a co-ed bachelorette party. And I got really drunk as usual. And I went up to her around, I don't know, halfway through. And I go, do you think I should still get married like that? And she goes, Jules, if you have to ask, I think you know the answer. I was like, whatever, party. And then
sounds like yes.
Yeah. And just was it. So I had moments. And when I left New York and told my friends and I was like, I'm leaving New York. I'm getting engaged. I'm going to move to the house that I grew up in the suburbs of Boston. I'm going to quit comedy. Doesn't this sound great? Like that. My friends were like, are you sure? But they, how do you tell somebody don't?
Because you're already in motion. So that's really hard. And I think when your friends go, that's a sign. I think, when you're kids, you tell each other's opinions all the time. And then, you fight with each other and you get back together. And nobody gives a shit because you're not making these crazy big decisions. You're making lifelong changes to your life. What is your friend going to say to you? If your future husband is for it, then that's you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen anyone get married that you don't think should get married?
Kind of. I mean, I don't know. It's weird. I don't get super invested in a lot of other people's relationships. I don't know if that sounds self, but I'm just like, yeah, they're fine if they like each other. Oh, they don't? No, I wasn't surprised. Like that. Like I'm pretty.
I think I'm like that also. Yeah. Where I'm just like, I don't understand that relationship so much, but I think it's only because I would not be in that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
So who the fuck am I? Like, I feel like sometimes... certain people want, it's like, you dress that way. I don't give a shit,
I mean, there's this one couple, I don't really hang out with them anymore, but I didn't think it was going to be that great. And they're still together, but I know that one is cheating.
That's such a shame. The woman or the guy?
The guy.
Are you friends with the guy?
Or the girl? friend through a friend. I shouldn't know this information, but right. For some reason, I also have this weird thing where people love to confess to me when they're cheating.
Interesting.
It's weird. People will like, maybe because I host that show, or maybe because I've had my own kind of
show about true stories,
about true sex stories, but also maybe because I've, you know, gone through a failed relationship and kind of understand those like desperate moves people make.
Right.
I think also you just seem very easy to talk to. You know, you're like logical enough, down to earth enough, and funny. I feel like that's who people confess to.
Yeah, and I'm not really judgmental. I mean, not that I ever condone it, but I, you know, I'll say to people, be like, well, you know, it sounds like you're pretty unhappy. You should probably split. But I would never be like, you monster. Yeah. You know, I would, mm-hmm. I don't know.
I used to feel that way, you monster, about things. Now I'm like, I don't fucking know you.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone.
I'm like, here's my therapist number. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah, probably somebody else would be better.
Yeah.
So how do you guys break it off?
Me and my ex?
Yes.
Okay. It's such, I mean, literally hours. I started acting out a lot, like just like staying out really late, you know, partying more, kind of trying to get a rise out of him. And it wasn't working.
Now, how is it? It's in the suburbs of Boston. How are you partying?
Well, here's the thing. So I was living in the suburbs of Boston, but then after being there probably for a month, I was like, I'm going to, you know what? Someone asked me to do a show in New York. I'm just going to go to New York for like a night. And then I'd be like, I'm going to go to New York for a weekend. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to New York for a week. And I started kind of living this weird double life where I would come to New York, do comedy, party, hang out till 4, sleep on friends' couches. And then I'd go back to Boston and like pick up floral arrangements for this wedding that I didn't think I wanted to have and go to bed at 10 and was like the perfect little fiance.
Are you ever cheating in New York? Anything like that? A little here and there,
gray,
sure.
It was gray area because we also...
Just a shaft?
Well, we tried to have openness, but there was no rules set up. It was basically like under the assumption that we wouldn't have sex with other people. But I was like, well...
Openness is openness.
Yeah, well, so I didn't have sex with other people. But it was very... I honestly can't even explain because it's so... It was basically like we got engaged. I was like, hey, I have an idea. We're such good pals. We're going to be together forever. Why don't we just have a lot of fun right before we get married? So the year that we were engaged... It was sort of under the idea of like, oh, if you get wasted at a party and you make out with some guy, no big deal. But I was like, I might hook up with him in a cab or go home with him. I mean, like.
I'm an adult now.
Yeah, I'm an adult now. So.
Right.
And you probably keep changing. Like, I think oral's fine. He didn't come inside me. I think that's fine. Just keeps changing. It was the ass only.
But that was the big thing was that we thought we were so cool because we didn't get jealous. Like, we didn't get jealous at all of each other. Like, he ended up hooking up with someone and I was like, cool. Like, and now with my, and I'm not saying that jealousy is a good thing, but you know, with my current boyfriend, he's like, that'll never fucking fly right. In a relationship. And I'm not saying, look, I think open relationships can work totally, but I don't know, you just can, you know, when it's really working or when you're just doing it because you don't want to be with that person.
I would feel something was wrong if my girlfriend didn't mind me making out and fucking other people.
Right.
I'd be like, something's, you're so mature.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it sounded like when you got engaged, you broke up.
Yes, that is a great way to put it. That is a great way to put it.
Well,
I'm going to write that down. Now where's my notepad?
So you end up breaking up. You get a divorce.
Yeah.
Your family upset? Friends upset?
Well, weird thing. I felt like my parents... I was terrified that my parents were going to be so disappointed. I mean, they were disappointed that I went through at the wedding
right.
more so because my mom, I think, could start to tell that I wasn't. She kept being like, why don't you postpone it? Like, she was trying.
Forever.
Yeah. And, forever, exactly. But they, you know, they have a, whatever, they're roommates. So they
Your actually, parents.
Yeah, you know. So they actually, oddly, instead of getting mad... I mean, they weren't happy, but they were like...
Was it offensive when they went, duh?
and they smacked me across the face. They were more, I don't want to say jealous, but sort of like, whoa.
You can do
like,
that.
Wow, you're really, wow. And because they couldn't deny how happy I was after.
Right.
I mean, it was like night and day. I went from being this really like partying a lot, depressed person, I put on 25 pounds overnight when I was upset to like, you know...
Healthier
to this, you guys.
Hello.
Heyo.
Now so, after the marriage,
yeah,
do you start going through some phase? You can do whatever you want to do now.
Well, no. I mean, I wanted to, but the weird thing was, is I feel like I almost went through that phase while I was married a little bit. That once we separated, you know, I tried to do that, and it didn't. Without having the safety of somebody at home, it was a lot more scary because now it was like I was, you know, legitimately single. Does that make any sense?
And almost dating in this way, and you don't want to date that way.
And I also had never dated because I met my husband, you know, we started dating when I was 19, 20. So I reverted back to college, which was like hook up and hope they call like that. Mm. And I didn't know that you could actually like
get to know someone.
You go to dinner and then, you know, maybe they kiss you on the way home. Like I didn't even know that that worked. So I just kind of went back to like, I'm going to drink and maybe make out with someone. And
I'm passed out, y'all.
Yeah. Hey, where are my pants? But I ended up meeting my boyfriend now about 3 months after I separated.
Was that scary to you? Like, oh, I don't know if I'm supposed to meet you right now.
It was. We kept it very, very, very casual for the first like 5-6 months because he was getting out of a relationship too. But honestly, I was a little nervous, but it felt so, like, again, you're going to get cheap. It felt so right, you guys, that no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's had the same look on her face since 4 years. Honestly, like we saw it, you know, I mean, because you started coming on the show shortly after you guys dated and you were like, yeah. And it was obvious that you wanted to say that he's the one, but you're like, I can't say this right now. People will think I'm crazy, yeah. You know, but it's the same look and congratulations. I think that's really great.
Thanks.
Yeah. Do
you say congratulations?
Sure. What a world we live in where you feel weird saying this person's the one.
I know, but the thing is, you know, the ego is so fragile and you just want to make sure and also tell the other person first and like have that, like, we all know this, right? Okay, now we can tell the world. I don't know. It feels weird.
I think also, at least for me, I, for so long until about a couple, like, you know, a few years ago, I was one of those like, romance is queer, you guys. Like, I would always make fun of like romantic comedies. And I thought, you know, and with my ex too, we were so practical and buddies that I'd be like, don't get me jewelry. Get me a blender. We need a blender. Like, I really never let myself be romantic. And, you know, I'm like a comic and I'm supposed to think things are lame and all that stuff. And one of the things I really love about my boyfriend is he's like a hopeless romantic. And so he really kind of brought it out in me. So that's been...
That's really nice.
Well, people will say, Keith, you and your relationship, you're getting all gay about it. And I go, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You feel bad for these people.
Yeah. I would wish everyone in this world to have a nice partner.
Well, I felt that way. After Keith and I broke up, I'm like, well, if I declare this person my one, it's like, is anyone going to take me seriously? Which I'm wondering if you felt this way, Julia, because you declared it in an altar or whatever, you know, in front of all your friends. You declared something already. And that's what I thought, you know, Keith and I have been talking about, like, whoa, we don't need marriage. We're like good together, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I'm on air. I mean, this is specifically in front of a mic and in front of my friends. It's like, I know I told you this guy is doing, you know, like,
but come on, you knew.
Like, yeah.
I don't think.
You know how you guys all were shitting on him? You know.
This is the sad thing.
Remember when you said he wasn't good enough for me?
I don't think my friends and family thought that because this is so horrible. Other than the wedding and doing saying all these things, I never really walked around being like, oh, he's the one. He's, you know, all this stuff. I was like, oh, he's so great. You know, like
at cooking.
Yeah, we're so, and he's awesome. Like he has a new girlfriend now. He looks great. He is like totally done the same kind of 180 emotionally, I think, that I have. Like he seems really happy.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Do you want to like give it just one more bang?
Absolutely
one more
bloop? Not. No. Mm-mm. But he's hot too. He's like a great looking guy. He's awesome. It's just we're pals.
How come you're not marrying this new guy?
Who says I won't?
Are you?
Eventually. Maybe. I'm in no rush.
How come you're not in a rush?
Because I already did it and I, you know, we have other goals right now as far as finances go. And okay. I'm probably not going to get a lot of money help on the next wedding from my parents. So they're like, just tell us where it is. We'll show up. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fair.
I would tell you to look at the receipt from the first check I gave.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. There's no rush. It'll happen when it's supposed to happen. Right. And also I want to let him, because of the last one, I very much said to my ex, I was like, hey, I have an idea. Let's leave New York. Let's go to Boston. You propose. Great. Like, right. kind of call the shots. So, you know, with this new romantic.
Now's a good time to do it. Okay. Yeah. Will you? What? I didn't expect. Okay.
Yeah. I want this one to be, you know, if he wants to put it in a pie or whatever people do. I don't know. Something. Maybe not. Don't put it in a pie if you're listening.
He just, every time she eats a pie, just make a face like, oh.
I have to eat the whole pie but with my hands tied behind my back.
Do you like Boston?
I do. Yeah.
Do you miss it?
I miss my family.
Okay.
My nieces.
At least it's not a long ride. You can actually drive there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I heard Cleveland, Ohio won the dubious distinction of being the most miserable city in the United States.
How could that be?
Cleveland, Ohio, out of all the cities in the U.S., is the most miserable.
In terms of how people feel?
High employment, dismal weather, hefty taxes, corruption, terrible sports teams.
High employment or unemployment?
Unemployment, of course. Okay. Yeah, everybody hates working.
No, but you know what? I was like, wow, their jobs must be the worst.
Yeah, I know, right?
Dismal weather, hefty taxes, corruption, mediocre sports teams.
Oh, that's just mean.
All of which propelled it to the number one position in the Forbes.com list. Cleveland nabbed the top spot as a result of poor ratings across the board. It was the only city that fell in the bottom half of rankings in all nine categories. The city has been dubbed the mistake by the lake next to the Cuyahoga River.
That is so sad. Who's second? Do you know?
I don't know. The rankings are based on jobless rates, inflation, taxes, commuting time, crime rates, performance by the city's sports teams. I think that's fair. That can change a town.
That's what keeps Pittsburgh out of the most depressing, I
Absolutely.
Think. Yeah.
I do think.
Because I think they would be sort of... I wonder if Pittsburgh is the second and their team just keeps them going.
I've never been there. Is it terrible, Pittsburgh?
It's...
They put so much into the sports team, it's odd.
It's all it is. So it's hard to like even see beyond that to actually see the city because the whole city is just... On any given day, you turn the corner... Every corner, someone is wearing the Pittsburgh Steelers something, the jersey, the hat, on any given day. And I get like New York does that with the Yankees, I think. There's always like a Yankees hat somewhere. But I think there's so much more of us that you see other things as well. But this was just, where do you want to go? Oh, to the Pittsburgh this thing or to the Heinz ketchup, whatever the fuck. Like, who gives a shit?
Right, to the Steelers this thing, you mean?
Yeah.
Right. Other categories, weather, pollution, corruption by public officials. But yeah, their team, anyway, football is what I follow, and their Cleveland football team, it is no good. And they used to be great. They used to be Pittsburgh's rival, in fact. Now, that's a depressing, sad thing when Baltimore is now our rival. So you're Cleveland, and your arch enemies don't want to be your enemies anymore. That's a little sad. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, no thanks. No, come on, fuck you. Yes, fuck me. Goodbye.
God, war and sports. Two things I've kind of zoned out in this.
I hear you. It's what keeps the world going, but you're in your bliss.
Whenever I hear Baltimore, I always think of that Cosby Show episode where Vanessa snuck out to go see The Wretched in Baltimore. Do you remember that
one? I remember that, yeah.
Where Claire was like, you went to Baltimore to see The Wretched. That's my favorite. That's like one of my most distinct childhood memories.
I remember when she said that. Did they move the couch to face the door?
Yes, they moved the couch to face the door.
Did she have, I'm not sure about this one because I think this was later. Did she have that weird afro thing?
The side fro?
Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
She did?
Yeah, I think with the bangs. And that was such a good...
I fucking love that show. I love that they're like, do you want to move the couch so that when they walk in, all they do is see us just sitting here?
God,
I love it. One of my favorites is the Theo episode where they pretended he moved out.
Yes.
Love it.
If more moms were like Claire Huxtable, man, I would.
Well, actually, I heard she's a terrible mom in real life.
No.
She was a drunk.
We're trying to bring Julia down this whole show.
You come out, please. It took me 3 hours to get here on the subway.
Why? My favorite Cosby episodes were the ones they pretended Theo was straight. I think those were my favorite. What a douche.
He was a douche.
Theo. Hey,
speaking of sports, Major League Baseball starting next season is saying there has to be guidelines for what reporters wear. And you could tell it's obvious it's aimed at women. They try to act like, no tank tops, no flip-flops for guys too, you know. But it's aimed at women. Specifically, we don't get to see your undergarments. You can't wear your shoulder tops, strapless tops, you know, those tube tops. I can't see your midriff. Your shorts can't be cut 3 or 4 inches above the knee.
And they're also trying to pretend that it's not specifically from that one incident from that Mexican chick reporter.
With the Jets, I believe.
Which started the biggest debate about this. So,
what was she wearing?
She was a little slutty. Now, you hate to blame the woman. That's crazy. But if I go into the zoo in the monkey's cage and I'm wearing Lady Gaga's meat dress and things go wrong, I don't go, "This is my fault, assholes." Yeah.
Well, I just think you're a reporter, so why not, you know, just dress the part? There's certain...
Like you would go to a regular job. I mean, I can see your bra, reporter.
I will say this, though. Female reporters have gotten sexier and sexier.
Agreed. Right. And it's funny. It's weird sometimes because they just look sort of model-y, and it takes me a second to look past that. Like,
yeah,
what? But no, this was a little weird. Like, I don't know, to us, we're allowed to dress however we want in this business, but not if Keith and I go out to some sort of lunch meeting, I have to wear not sweatpants.
Well, you still don't.
It's not that it's like, hey, you have to look a certain way because you're female or because of this and you have to, you know, present yourself. It's because you have this job and you want people to take you seriously.
Right. Well, not even going out. Julia can't see him this panties, believe it or not. I'm not wearing a see-through shirt.
Right.
Bummer.
I don't know. You're going to work.
Yeah.
I can't believe we have to tell you this. Yeah. But we're supposed to take you seriously. Chicks on the field. Am I wrong? I saw the movie. Speaking of provocative.
You just lost Julia again.
Right.
No, I'm here.
I saw the movie Straw Dogs, the remake. You know what? I can't watch these movies where... The people do things that I would never do. I understand people would do all kinds of different things, but especially these movies where a couple gets terrorized. I'm like, I would never do that. My girlfriend would never do that. I'm out. The movie should be called The Pussy and the Cunt. This bitch ends up getting raped, and you see why it's going to happen. You're like, it's going to happen, and then the guy, you know, is a real pussy, doesn't stand up to the man saying, basically, I think your wife wants to fuck me.
You think they had some outs along the way
many
that
outs.
They didn't take.
Watch out. Your wife wants to fuck me. I'm going to ignore that. Next scene, go see you tomorrow when you're working on my roof again.
I have no idea what this movie is about.
It's about this bitch that takes her fucking clothes off in front of her ex-husband or ex-boyfriend in this town they visit and then wonders why there's a whole bunch of... Because she got mad at him. Saying he dressed, when he says, you dress too presumptuous. They're out there, these guys working on her house. They're like licking their, almost licked my body outside. Maybe it's the way you dress. What the fuck? I dress for you. Fuck you. So she goes up into her bedroom and then starts taking her shirt off in front of these workers. The workers are just staring. Hey, remember when you fucked her? I sure do. And then then teases, closes the door. And then, whoops, there's a bunch of rape and murder.
Did she tell her husband that she did that?
No.
You're really good at movie reviews.
Trust me, this is what happened.
I'm not even going to bother seeing it
I
now.
Hope I turned you off. So I didn't know what Straw Dogs meant. And so I looked it up on Google. First thing that came up is Urban Dictionary, where people can, you know, kind of like Wiki. Maybe not as guarded.
They could just put whatever they think.
Apparently, Straw Dog is used when someone is referring to raping and pillaging someone or multiple people. As in... Dude, you ready to straw dog that girl? Yeah, let's straw dog her.
Maybe they watched the movie and then decided what that meant.
And then that's how I'd use it in a sentence.
Yeah.
You ready to straw dog a bitch?
Well, it's Urban Dictionary.
But they're not going to say, oh my God, this poor woman was straw dogged. They go, let's straw dog. That's how I'd use it in a sentence.
I just keep imagining like a dog made out of like hay, kind of like, you know, like a straw.
Well, go on Urban Dictionary, change the meaning.
It. Well, here's another definition. Person who is faithful to the process of snorting cocaine. Someone who uses the inhalation of cocaine as the sole purpose of getting high.
Now, I don't think that that's it either, but that sounds more reasonable.
Right. Usually, when I use cocaine, it's to study or to... I mean, this straw dog bitch is just using it to get high. Let me use it in a sentence. With the packet in my pocket, the good stuff, I could only think of her, sitting at home anxiously awaiting my arrival like a real straw dog.
What?
I'm confused.
I know, it's stupid. A straw dog is something that's made to deliberately be destroyed, like something you would make and offer to the gods
a pinata.
And burn. A pinata is a great example of
maybe
a straw
that's,
dog.
Maybe that's pretty, right?
Yeah, so now I'm going to raid into Urban Dictionary. Mexicans are straw dogs, yeah. As in, look at this filthy fucking straw dog.
Oh, boy.
Oh, five people like it.
That's not what I said. But.
That's what it sounds totally. Like. What's funny, today, Stucky Murray happened to talk about Urban Dictionary, and he wrote, or they wrote one of them. That'd be weird if they typed it at the same time. I'm also starting a website called Suburban Dictionary, where the term hot lunch is defined as a warm meal.
I love them.
Kendra saw the movie Sleeping Beauty, she told me. And I'm like, I saw the ad. That's on you.
Honestly, I saw the commercial and I was like, oh, this seems up my alley. Because, oh God, because I am into these weird, oh my God, you know, this woman put herself in some weird like situation where she's probably...
It's a sexual situation.
Yeah, yeah. And it's probably, you know, against the law or something. And there's some weird shenanigans going behind the scenes. I don't know. That for some reason, I was attracted by the trailer, right? I watched this cringing a lot of times and wondering, I just, you know, when you hold, when you actually like your fists are closed because you're so holding on to hope for this movie. I'm like, I can't wait until this all ties in together and we are going to learn absolutely everything from all the random little nonsensical scenes that you keep showing me that are right. that are big in and of themselves, but they don't connect to these other scenes very well.
That's art.
I don't know anything about this woman except for some fucked up shit that's happening in her life right now, you right. know? And then they clue us into some back history, but very brief, like nothing. Everything is...
I saw the trailer.
It was so fucking weird, and nothing happened at the end.
Of course not.
I've not heard of this movie either.
It's an art film. It'll probably only show on demand in, you know, your select theaters. But if I have trouble sleeping, I put the trailer on. It is... You can't tell this is some art film that is in our style.
No, I couldn't tell.
Ladies have a... Like this madam, you can tell. She's like, are ladies different? And I'm not forgetting... This is how slow she talks. Yeah. I'm not forgetting what she's saying.
Yeah.
Different ladies have different responsibilities. Certain ladies do certain things. They have certain gifts. Watch Sleeping Beauty on demand. I'm like, are you kidding me? They show you the best stuff. And I guess the movie's about these prostitutes that take drugs to pass out.
Well, yeah, the madam, the biggest, you're in this club, right? And initially, I'm sorry to ruin everything for everybody, but initially, they don't tell you what she's there for, but then you see she's these old, super duper rich guys have dinner parties, and instead of regular waiters, they have these women dressed in lingerie. Their titties are out, and they're just kind of like there for them to look at. And later on, you see them in a more loungy room, and the women are a little more draped on them. But the rule is, you will not be penetrated because your vagina is some sort of like garden or like awesome thing, and. So you know that they're not being penetrated, but you get the feeling like things are happening anyway. But they don't show you anything.
And they're sleeping?
No. See, that's the first part. Then the next level, because there's room for promotion, she takes this tea and you'll be sleeping for an hour. The men get to do whatever they want except no penetration and no bruising, because they're picking like these beautiful women that have like no kind of anything weird on them, like no moles,
flawless.
No whatever, like completely flawless, exactly. So you sleep while men just kind of do whatever. So they don't really show it in the
amazing.
Beginning. And then they show this one guy start to do something to her, and he's basically, because she's like, it's a safe haven. No one's watching you and no one's judging you. And they're like, thank you so much. Like, they really tried to make it like she was curing their cancer or
was
something.
Was it based off a true story? Please say no.
Yeah, God. Sleeping Beauty from Hans Christian Andersen.
So basically they're doing all but penetrating, raping her. But they are kind of, I mean, I guess rape is not consensual and this is consensual. But it was so weird. This one guy... The one guy that you actually do see that he does things to her is like, oh, you filthy, cunty whore. Like, okay, I get it. He's like, oh, she really can't hear me. That's awesome. Puts his two fingers in her mouth and then licks very creepily all up the side of her face and on her forehead. And you just kind of wonder, this poor actress who's been naked for a lot of this, who's been just like, literally just... this unbelievable part where it's really actually happening to you. When you're standing there and people are checking your body out from close, they're really checking your body out. They're actors, but that's really happening to you. When he sticks the finger in her mouth and then licks her face and she has to pretend she's sleeping as an actor, that's actually happening.
Yeah, but she didn't have to learn any lines. Like, that's
at
great.
That point,
yeah.
That's
and she's making fun of the actresses in Human Centipede 2.
Wait, is it based off a true story?
I doubt it. But who the fuck knows? I don't. There's probably some kind of bullshit happening like this. But I don't. You can't exactly. I don't know. Can you put someone to? I guess you could put someone to sleep for an hour, and it's.
It would not be very legal.
Dentist.
No, it's not legal.
At the dentist.
But a lot of things that are not legal happen. You know.
I don't know. I think that's on you, that movie. I don't know.
It was my fault, you think?
Yeah, yes. It's all your fault. Blame the victim. I'm just a victim.
Well, my girlfriend today, she's at the theater. She's seeing My Week with Marilyn.
What's that?
Have you heard of this?
Oh, yeah, yeah. With
Marilyn Monroe?
With Marilyn Monroe. Well, yeah, it's this, I guess, some lucky kid, I don't know, teenager, maybe he's in his 20s, I don't know, gets to spend a week with Marilyn Monroe. What that
Michelle
must be,
Williams, right?
With yeah. Michelle Williams as Marilyn Monroe. I can't think of something more nauseating than spending a week with Marilyn Monroe. That would have to be horrendous, but I never got Marilyn Monroe. But so I texted her. I'm like, all right, I'm about to start the show. You know, I love you. You're the one. You know, I'm sorry your movie blows. Send.
Has anyone seen The Muppets?
I hear it's great.
I hear it's good. Oh, wait, but before you continue, this is exactly, it's similar to what Lauren did. I was like, oh, let's watch Sleeping Beauty. And you can tell when someone's just trying to be nice, like, if you want to, do you want to just look at other options first, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, you don't really want to see it. No, I'll see it. And I'm like, well, you don't have to. She goes, you know what? We'll watch this other movie tonight. And if I'm not around, because we've certain chosen movies that we want to see together.
Yes.
So don't watch it until, okay. She's like, if I'm not around and you want to watch it, that's okay.
So that's one of our biggest issues, I would say, is movies, because he's like, oh, you go see like fucking comic book movies and horror movies. Like, that's all. And then I'll be like, will you go see, you know, The Muppets? He's like, oh, babe. I really want to see like Death Valley 18. Come on, babe, please. Come on. And then I'm like, okay, fine. I will see Death Valley 18, but promise you'll go see, like, and it's not even like I'm taking him to see, you know, I don't know, fucking New Year's Eve, which right. I will not see, you know, like, yeah. Something like that. I'm, like, it's something good. And he's like, oh.
No, I get that. I can't watch those Death Valley things either. And what? That's what buddies are for, right?
I don't have to do
everything together.
I went and saw Paranormal Activity 3. Was that the one that was just
three.
Out? Because I was like, you know what? I'm gonna show you what compromise is like. And I went, and it was actually pretty. It was okay. It is what it is. I was proud of myself. And I was like, so now you have to see the next movie we go see. He's like, oh, babe, if I knew, I would have taken someone else.
I wouldn't have picked
you.
That one. But why do you even want to bring your significant other knowing they're not going to be into it?
You just kind of want to spend time with each other. And it's like, if I want to go with anyone, I want to go with you. But I do agree, for the movie situation, it might be a buddy situation. Let me know how you guys did, and I'll see you later.
Right.
That's what friends are for.
Well, I give you another 2 years the way this is sounding.
It's the worst.
Let me tell you about
that. That's the worst.
Yeah. Right.
Let me tell you Julia's website. It's her name. It's that easy. You know how to spell it. I don't even have to tell you, but I will. GIULIA Rozzi.com. And you see her blog, how to get her stand-up CD.
So it's the most common spelling of the word Julia.
Right.
Oh, my God. People are idiots.
People are idiots. Yeah. That's a tough name.
Mayor Giuliani? Anyone say that Mayor Giuliani? No. Fucking learn English. G-I makes a J sound. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Know.
Check out my site.
But I think it's more the other way when they hear your name
and
spelling it.
Whatever. Just write it down.
Yeah. Just respect you.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'm sure you knew how to spell Chemda as soon as you heard it.
I didn't know. I was like, Chemma.
Right. The show that she does that she was talking about is called Stripped Stories. I'm looking on their website. I see if you have a time machine, you can see the shows that she does in November.
Oh, the next show is December 29th at UCB in New York. Sorry,
okay.
I forgot to put that on there.
Well, just update that and people will check it out.
Okay.
And check her out.
Be friends on Facebook and Twitter. She's everywhere. So I went to Strip Stories a few times. Great fucking show.
Thank you.
She's got these awesome comedians telling true stories on the topic. It's always about sex, but there's a topic like, I think there was a threesome was one of the topics that I went to.
Or, like, usually things like awkward, embarrassing, disappointment, like stuff that's, you know.
Yeah, and these are people that are used to being on mic, storytellers, comedians. Right. So it's not some, you know, random person going, I don't, you know, it's kind of weird, but it's really well thought out and told stories.
Thank you.
Right. Do do people ever tell a personal story and then afterwards, like, I shouldn't have said that? Do they ever come to you and you're like, well, what am I going to do?
No, we've changed lives for the better. Yeah? I've had many comedians be like, that was such a different experience. Thank
you. Look at you. Because that happens to us every single day.
It's good. Let's be pro, you guys.
Well, I got to figure out how you get away with it. Julia, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And everybody, that's it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com